Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is May the 26th, 2019, and we're going to start off with the last. It's going to be first today. This is called the Winner Circle. The Winner Circle. What is a Winner Circle? A small circular area or enclosure at a racetrack where the winning horse and jockey are brought to receive their awards and have photographs taken. The winner's circle. And I know I dreamed this in the early hours of the morning. I didn't even write down the date on this. This was a few nights ago. The Lord began to talk to me about the winner's mentality, and I was to never view anything from a loser's point of view. Whatever circumstance came into my life that he wanted me to see myself as a winner, because as far as he is concerned, he's already done it all, and he's already sit down, and he's already resting, and he's already waiting for us to go in and take it. Just like the children of Israel, God told them, go take the land. I've already given it to you. I've already caused the enemy to be so fearful of you that they'll run from you. You know, if we go through life viewing ourselves as winners, there will not be anything that can ever defeat us. We should always strive to be in the winner's circle. Always. Never view anything that you go through, you see, that comes against you as a negative. View it as a winner. You can't win a race or run a race with a loser's mentality. You won't win. You may have the fastest body on earth, but if your mind gets in the way with that, it'll trip you up. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. The scriptures do have some things to say about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is going to be a short one. There's enough negativity in the world to trip you up if you allow it. But in Christ, it says we're already more than conquerors. We've already gained the victory. So any challenge that comes our way is to be viewed like David. This day, you're coming down. You're going down. I win. The scripture already says it. We win. There is no losers in God. There's no biggest loser television program or regimen in God's kingdom. No losers. We're just winners. He doesn't make losers, only winners. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither. But we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships. The Lord's been talking to us about get your body under control. Then get your circumstances under control. And then get outside of your box and start taking control where I lead you in changing laws and in rearranging things like I did in Genesis chapter 1. Like Jesus did when he spoke to the fig tree. And subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, but unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. So, the Lord's been speaking to us a few weeks back about the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. What's going to make the difference? Because we've had hundreds and hundreds of years of the Christ church age. And in this church age, there may be a few that raised up during their time that did some miraculous things, but for the most part, they've been few and far between. We've been made a kingdom of kings and priests. We're supposed to be doing, all of us doing this, changing our world. You know what's going to make the difference in the world? It's not another church having a nice little Sunday school and a nice little sermon. It's going to be the manifestation of the sons of God, where the power of God is manifest in the earth. People that actually don't just talk it, but they actually walk it. They actually speak to that withered arm and it grows out, or they speak to that dead person and he comes back to life, or cancers disappear, blind eyes open, ears open. We're never going to be there if we don't see ourselves as winners. We have a race before us. Okay, Hebrews 12. It's not enough to just come on Sunday morning and sing these nice little songs that pump us up and jack us up so we can just be slumping through all week, griping and complaining and just down in the mouth and all that. No. We can't give in to the negativity of the world, because it's waiting on every corner to try to slap you down if you allow it to. Therefore then, since we are surrounded, this is 12. Verse 1, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, what witnesses is he talking about? We're like in an amphitheater. Do you ever see the movie, Remember the Titans? Not Remember the Titans, Clash of the Titans, the old one, where it shows the gods up there with the people there on the shelf, and they'll put them down in the arena and they're supposed to do stuff. You know, it's like they're sitting on the sidelines of the Olympic arena and they're watching us run our race and they're cheering us on in our race of faith, our walk of faith. Okay, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth. Let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. Let us run. Most of that what's entangling us is care. We have the grace of God to do whatever we need to do. We choose to get under the juniper tree and start, don't we? Isn't it a choice? That deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? He doesn't want us straining, struggling, ever. The key to the winner's circle is having a winner's mentality. It all has to do with what's going on in that metal trap up there. Okay, Philippians 3. This is just the cartoon. I have plenty to share today, but this was just a little something the Lord gave me on Saturday. This is 3:11. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this idea or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know, this is really big, and it's going to come up later in another teaching. This is really big about not letting your mind go down regret, blame, shame, looking in the past. You're not going to run a race successfully looking back. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Lord, let us today, if there's any attitudes in us, make it clear to us so we can let them go, so we can run this race. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. We have to be, as a winner in the winner's circle, your focus has to be on your victories, not on your defeats, not on your failures. Okay, Paul was a winner. He had the winner mentality. He always won. He even died his own way. He chose to go. In fact, he was looking forward to it. He was like Jesus. Jesus laid his life down. He could not be taken out any other way. By faith. He had to decide. I lose it. The power of death had no hold on him. I don't believe it has any hold on us either. Not for those that walk by faith. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11. We have to be like David when we came before the inquired of the Lord again. Lord, these Philistines, you know, last time we whipped them that way. How do you want me to do it this time? Yeah. That's not, if you give us this victory, Lord. Oh, please, Lord, if you might. No, it was, we beat them then, we'll beat them today. How do you want me to do it? That's the winner mentality. 11:24. Five times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, but one. Three times I've been beaten with rods, once with stone. Three times I've been aboard a ship wrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I have spent adrift on the sea. Jackie, I just keep having this to say to you. Prosperity is not stockpiles. Prosperity is a bottle with enough oil and enough meal for one day. Yes. Supernatural supply.
Yes.
Every time you dip, what you need will be there. That's just what I have. Yeah. In fact, I saw that at the beginning when I came in. I saw that. Like, you know, it fed her and her household and the prophet until it rained and they could sow in the field and receive a harvest. Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. Like the manna.
Yeah.
Enough for that day. That's how he teaches us to walk by faith, because in the kingdom of God, there is no loss of supply. But you might not see it in barns. Mm-hmm. Okay. 26. Many times on journeys exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety, in toil and hardship, watching often through sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want and cold and exposure and lack of clothing. Besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? I do not feel his weakness or weakness. I don't know why they put his there. I do not feel weakness. Who is made to stumble and fall and have this faith hurt? And am I not on fire with sorrow and indignation? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my infirmities, of the things which I am made weak and contemptible in the eyes of my opponents. The God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows, he who is blessed and to be praised forever, that I do not lie. In Damascus, the city governor, acting under King Aretas guarded the city of Damascus on purpose to arrest me. And I was actually let down in a rope basket or hamper through a window, a small door in a wall, and I escaped through his fingers. He's talking about all the things he's gone through, but he's not talking about being a loser here. He's talking about being a winner. Chapter 12. True, there is nothing to be gained by it. But as I am obliged to boast, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise, and he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words which man is not permitted to utter. Of this same man's experiences I will boast, but of myself personally I will not boast, except as regards my infirmities, my weaknesses. Should I desire to boast, I shall not be a witless braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth, but I abstain from it, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet, and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. So what's Paul saying? He won and he overcame, but it was by grace. It wasn't by his abilities. Learning to walk when we feel our weakest, maybe we feel like we don't have anything left to give, that's when grace kicks in. He doesn't need your strength. He's not impressed by the strength of men's legs, it says in the scripture. He's not impressed by that. He's not impressed about your stamina or your strength as far as that goes. When you recognize you're not anything but He in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the grace of God in me can help me kill the giant and stay in the winner's circle. That's what the Lord was saying to me. Don't let your circumstances pull you down, because it pulls on your emotions and then you start acting out of your emotions. Nobody will ever be changed by that old sad sack way of living. I've seen Christians living that way since I come into Pentecost. They never had no victory over anything. They did a lot of shundaline at the church, jumping and shouting and running around, but they didn't have any power. He kept his eye on the goal, not the hardships. A winner never takes his eye off the prize. Jesus said, this is Luke 9. Well, I'll just go there. Luke 9. It's all how you look at things. It will always be how you look at things. The truth be known, He has supplied everything we need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not by the world's abundance. Luke 9:59. And he said to another, Mike, become my disciple, side with my party, and accompany me. But he replied, Lord, permit me first to go and bury and await the death of my father. Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and publish abroad throughout all regions in the kingdom of God. Everybody wants to just wait around till it's convenient for them to serve the Lord and do what the Lord tells them to do. Well, I got an elderly whatever at home. I can't go. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, and become your disciple and side with your party. But let me first say goodbye to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. You don't go backwards in the kingdom of God. You only go forward. And there's only one way to look. The goal. The prize. Okay. I dreamed this on 5/23/19, early in the morning. Don't look back. Always keep your eyes on who you are in me. No more failure mentality. Don't talk your failures. Don't talk you failed with your kids. You failed here. You failed that. The Lord said, don't go back there. Don't look there. As far as I'm concerned, it's no longer back there. Get over yourself. No more failure mentality. Have a winner's view. View everything through the eyes of a winner, because according to my word, you are. No matter what anyone says, keep that winner's mentality. Eleanor Roosevelt. No one can make you feel bad about yourself without your consent. All right, Deuteronomy. We are always in the winner's circle. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Y'all know what this is? It's a choice. You can choose the blessing or the curse. And it's not based. I like what the Amplified talks about when it's talking about the Beatitudes. It says, regardless of your circumstances. It's like they don't even enter into the equation. All right. Let's start with verse, I think it's 3. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them. Okay, so we make the choice. Either we're going to walk in the blessing. They had two mountains. One was the mountain of curses. The other was the mountain of blessing. And he said, choose. It's like Joshua, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay. If someone says something you don't like, say what you want. You have the ability to turn any losing situation into a win. The winner's circle is a mindset. Philippians 4. I remember a story of people were praying. You know, they didn't have any food. A milk truck and a bread truck had a collision out in front of their house. They had a table full of bread and milk. You know, blessing their food. They didn't have anything to eat. They were saying the blessing. Blessing God's provision. Thanking God for provision. Bread truck, milk truck had a collision right out in front of the house. You know, we don't question the way he does it, but we know he does it. We know he will do it if we keep our minds right and our speaking right. Okay, Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him again. I say rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He's coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything. See, this is where we negate the grace of God. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, and whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. You can't be thinking about the failure or the problem and achieve this. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. We just read about his life. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. I don't have any losers. I don't have any failures in my body. You are forgiven. You are the winner. Now, I've got a few scriptures here that I want to read to you. The first one is 2 Corinthians 2:14. These are about being winners. What the scripture says, who we are. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. You know, when we go out and win, that's what people are going to see. They're different. I've been to church and Sunday school all my life. Never learned much. Didn't help me do much in life. Always tried to do the right thing. But when they start seeing somebody a winner, they're going to latch themselves to you. I don't care how loud you shout in church. That shouting never did much for anybody. It's just a bunch of show of emotions. I mean, it's good to shout and be happy, but what's emotions going to do? We want power show up. The glory of God in manifestation. That's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. Don't let that failure stuff get on you. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is a victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is that is victorious over the world? But he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 8:37. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The only thing that can keep you out of the winner's circle is what you think. That's it. What you think. Let's stay in the winner's circle. Let's keep our minds right, not on our failures, but on our victories.